we haven't met yet, my name is Mike. I'm the worship and students director around here. And really, it's just kind of interesting. I was thinking about it the other day that I've been serving in this church now since the year of our Lord 2008. That's a long time ago, right? Yeah, it's crazy. And what's wild about it is that in this time that I've been serving here, it's just interesting that I've really gotten to know people. At another church that I was at, I was only there for a couple of few years. And sure, I met people and I got to know them a little bit. But it is kind of interesting that over time that I'm just able to get to know people kind of more and more. In my ministry, I've been invited into people's living rooms. I've been invited into hospital rooms during some of the most joyous, bright, uplifting seasons of people's lives, but also some of the deepest, darkest, most difficult seasons of some people's lives. And it's interesting how people react whenever they're going through a difficult season in life. Some people will continue to be faithful to God. They'll pray to God. They'll reach out. They'll ask God for comfort and strength, and they'll remain faithful. But I've also seen this. I've seen good people, all right? People who love Jesus, who love the Bible. But I've also seen them waver at various times as well. They'll ask questions like, where is God whenever I'm dealing with this? Or if he's really in control, then how come he's allowing me to go through with this? Why me? Why not my neighbor? But why me? And it's interesting with these questions that, for me, I welcome these questions because it's theological questions, and that's the thing I love about theology, is that it's all real. You know, it's none of this like pie in the sky philosophy. Well, what about this thing? What about that thing? This is real life that happens, and we all go through it. We all go through really difficult, hard times in life, and we've all asked those same kinds of questions. You know, we can look back in Scripture, and these are all real events that have happened. They're true. And they ask those same kinds of questions. It's all about real things. It's all about real life. And, you know, it is kind of interesting that whenever people are going through that hard time, how suffering can be a stumbling block for some people's faith. Now, why is that? Well, whenever you zoom out and you talk to them and start to realize what's going on is that ultimately, it can come down to a misconception of who God is and how he operates. See, we often treat God like some sort of vending machine. You know, you put the dollar in, you hit A2, out comes the Kit Kat bar, right? And so with God, I do all the things. I go to church, I read the Bible, I do all the things. I put the dollar in, I press A2, and yet I still am going through a difficult time. So maybe prayer doesn't work. Maybe the vending machine is broken. Maybe God isn't real. Or if he is real, then he doesn't care. And we often have that misunderstanding about God. After all, I do all the things and I still end up going through financial difficulties, illnesses, a death in the family, a divorce. So where is God in all of this? Well, the first problem here is that God is not a vending machine, right? He is, indeed, he is a good and perfect father. And so, of course, God is not going to answer all of our prayers the way that we want them to, because as a good father, you wouldn't do that to your kids, right? Like, imagine if you said yes to every single request from your kids. Dad, can I have ice cream at 10 o'clock at night? Would I ever say yes to that? Okay, maybe sometimes I would, right? But I'm the worst example, right? Like, I'm not a loving, perfect father like God is. And yet, God sometimes does say no, even whenever life is hard. And I think that that's another point here, is that we get this phrase backwards. It's that God is good and life is hard. But God is good even whenever life is hard. And sometimes we flip that and we say, no, life is good, or at least it's supposed to be good. And so whenever it's not, then God, where are you? Maybe God is hard on me. What is the explanation then for God allowing someone to suffer? Well, one phrase that I hear a lot And a lot of people say this, and it's a half-truth. And we're in a mini-series. Next week, Pastor Mike is going to be here, and he's going to be walking us through the Gospel of Matthew, which is going to be a great series. You got to come on back for that. But today, we're in a mini-series on half-truths. And we looked at a few of them over the past few months. But today's half-truth is this, is that everything happens for a reason. Now, you've probably heard that. You've maybe said it before. And where do people get this idea that everything happens for a reason? Well, you could look at Romans 8:28, for example, and it says this. It says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And so there it is, that everything has a reason behind it, right? After all, that God is able to take all things, so the good, the bad, the ugly, and he's able to work them for the good of those who love him. Notice it's not for everyone, but it's only for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, that God has some sort of purpose for allowing everything to happen. So everything has a reason, right? Well, not so fast. I say it's a half-truth because when people often use that phrase, what they imply is they'll often imply that everything that happens is good. It's good that it's happening, right? So whenever some tragic event happens, well, that's good that it happened because everything has a reason behind it. But no, see, that's a misunderstanding. As Christians, we have to distinct and draw a line in the sand to say, no, there is such a thing as evil in this world. And is evil good? No, evil is terrible. There is such a thing as sin in this world. Is sin good? No, sin is rebellion against God. That is not good. We spent the last several weeks going through the first few chapters of Genesis. It's on YouTube if you missed it in our foundation series. But one of the things that we looked at was that God created everything good in Genesis chapter 1. But it wasn't long after, in Genesis 3, that Adam and Eve sinned against God. They brought sin into the world. Was that God's plan? Was that God's will that Adam and Eve would eat the fruit from that tree? No, absolutely not. Is it God's will? Is it God's desire that you go and sin and rebel against him? Of course not. Is it God's will and desire that there is evil in this world? No. And so what we have to recognize here is that not that everything that happens is morally good, but from this verse here, what we can understand is that God has a purpose behind it, that indeed that he is able to take things that are broken, take things that are evil, and he can twist them, he can rework them for some good, for some purpose. And we're going to talk about what that is. And so God is able to bring light out of darkness. He's able to bring victory out of devastation. And so why would God ever allow something like this to happen? Whenever we are going through that difficult time, whenever we're just stressed and we're anxious and life is just seemingly out of control, why would God allow us to go through these seasons? And I'm going to give you a few things. The first one here is because it draws us out of self-reliance. You know, one of the mistakes of our culture, and unfortunately so much of Christianity is swept up in this too, is that we're all about the self-help, right? The largest category, genre of books that are sold are the self-help genre. Some of the biggest podcasts and TikTok influencers are all about, they're all about self-help, about you becoming a better you. And so the problem with self-help, though, is that it has a fundamental principle that says that you need to draw on your own strength to get better, for life to get better. And so it's all self-reliance. It's all about you just got to dig deep into your own strength. But the problem is, and I think that we've all experienced this, I know that I have for sure, is that whenever you are going through something that is really, really just tragic and really difficult, then guess what? You can dig as deep as you want, and you don't have any inner strength. Absolutely not. Indeed, there's just nothing there. And so part of what it means to really become a Christian is to say, you know what, God, I can't do this all on my own. Instead, God, I need you. I need some other source of power because there's just, I've tried it to do it all on my own and there's just nothing left. That I'm out of gas. My batteries have died. I need some sort of real source of power. And so part of what whenever we go through suffering does is this is actually a healthy thing, is that it humbles us. It puts us on our knees, and whenever you're on your knees, the only place to look is up, is to say, God, I need you. I just can't do this all on my own. Because oftentimes we are arrogant, that we think that we can handle it all by ourselves, that we put our shoulders back, our chest out, our nose up, and we think that we could do life without God. And then whenever you're in those moments, you realize, God, I actually do need you. And so part of the reason that God allows us to go through these difficult seasons is for us, for our benefit. But also sometimes he even has a greater purpose. And if you're taking notes, this is on your notes, that God can accomplish even a greater purpose. In fact, Romans talks about this. It says, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so ultimately, it says that there is a benefit of going through suffering, of going through something really difficult, namely that it can produce all these things and ultimately can produce hope. You know, a friend of mine, he went through a really difficult season in his life. He and his family survived a hurricane in Texas. And what was so wild about it was as the rains are pouring down that he's asking God, protect my house from flooding. And so many times God will do that. God will be God the protector and he'll stop and prevent horrible things from happening to you. But in this particular case, the waters kept rising and rising and rising, and it ended up flooding his house. And one of the things he said about it was, he said, you know, I've always heard people say, and it's kind of an easy thing to say at church, you know, well, just rely on God, trust in God. And he never really fully understood what that meant until he experienced that devastation. And then he was able to meet not only God the protector, which is what he's normally used to meeting, but he's also able to meet God the comforter, God the provider. Indeed, whenever you had contractors coming to your house and you're able to see God step in and intervene and provide for you, that he really got to meet God the provider. He really got to meet God the comforter. And he said this about it. He said that sometimes God allows us to walk down a really dark and a difficult road so that way we can experience that. So we can experience that ability to fully rely on him. Our third reason here is because God wants to reveal his glory. So this one is not even necessarily about you, but it's about how it can benefit other people and about how other people can see God do miraculous things. So for example, there's a story in the Bible about a man named Job. And if you are not familiar with this story, it's about a guy who was tremendously blessed, very, very wealthy. And Satan believed that the only reason this man had faith in God, and he did, he was very faithful to God, but Satan believed that the only reason that he was faithful was because of his wealth and his blessings. He had many children, he had great health, and so God wanted to teach Satan a lesson. So the two of them had a meeting in heaven, kind of interesting how that worked, but in that meeting, God wanted to show something to Satan. And so God allowed Satan to do all this horrible, tragic things to Job. I mean, we're talking like his house burned down and like his kids were in it. Could you imagine losing your possessions, but also your family just like that? How horrible would that be? Later, God allowed Satan to then attack Job's health. And so he was in tremendous pain. And in all of that, Job never cursed God. And people were even encouraging him to curse God. And what did Job do? He never cursed God. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." But in that, he never cursed God. And so sometimes that we experience these difficulties, and it had nothing to do with Job in this case. It actually had to do with Satan learning a lesson. How wild is that? There's another story in the Bible, John chapter 9, about a man who was born blind. Could you imagine how devastating that would be to be the blind man or to be his family and to care for him in that way? And you may ask God, and they did in that story, they said, "God, whose fault is it? Why are you punishing us? Is it his fault or the parents' fault?" And Jesus said, "It's the uncle's." No, he said that actually it's no one's fault, but rather it's that he wants to reveal the glory. And sure enough, Jesus healed this man who was born blind. And because the man was born blind, now God gets to perform this miracle. And now God's glory gets to be revealed about who Jesus is. Another story, also in the book of John, about a man named Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick and he passed away. And this is tragic, that if you've ever lost someone like this. And it's almost, it seems senseless because Jesus was in a town nearby. And Jesus at any point could have gone to the town and could have healed Lazarus. But Jesus did not heal Lazarus. And he got grilled for it, that Mary and Martha were just asking Jesus, "Come on, why did you not show up? Why did you not heal Lazarus?" And what Jesus says is that I'm allowing this so that way the glory of God. He said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And Jesus called in a loud voice. So imagine this, Lazarus is dead, and he's dead for 4 days, which in Jewish thought meant like he was dead, okay? And so Jesus calls out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Could you imagine witnessing that event? And yet, by Jesus allowing Lazarus to pass away like that, that he got to perform a miracle. He got to raise Lazarus from the grave. And then ultimately now, Jesus' glory is revealed. The people now understand that Jesus isn't just talk, but no, he is indeed the Messiah. He is indeed God in this way. And so the question then is, how do we overcome difficult situations? And one thing I just want to say really quickly, even before we get to this next section, is that whenever we talk about how everything happens for a reason, that part of the problem with that is that we don't see the reasons whenever we go through suffering. Now, sometimes we do, and I believe that's simply God's graciousness, him just offering that to us to help us cope with a difficult situation. But there are going to be some things that happen in your life that are seemingly senseless, that don't seem to have the reason, that we don't understand. God, why? Yeah, God, come on. Why did you allow this to happen? And a lot of people think that it should be like a knee-jerk reaction, that as soon as something bad happens, we just immediately see why God allowed that thing to happen. And yet, and this is true, that we're just often not able to see all of those things, at least not on this side of eternity. Maybe in heaven, we'll be able to ask God those questions and we'll be able to kind of see how his plan unfolded, but rather that he's able to orchestrate all of these things together in a way that we often don't see the result. All right, so how do then we overcome difficult situations? The first one I want to give you is this, is to plug into God's strength. This is the anti-self-help thing of just dig into your own strength. Instead, we're saying, no, on our own, we're not able to do these things. Instead, we need a true source of power. We need God. After all, it is the first admission of a Christian to say, I cannot do this on my own. I cannot save myself. I need help. And ultimately, where does his power come from? Ultimately, it's in his word. It's in scripture. What did Jesus use to combat Satan whenever Jesus was being tempted? He used God's word, because there is power in God's word. Now, the thing is that in order to tap into that power, that we need to first know what God's word is. And this is why it's so important to be in devotions, why it's so important to study scripture, and not just have a few verses on a coffee mug, but to actually get into God's word. But then ultimately, it's in those difficult seasons to be able to be reminded of God's promises. Did you know that there are so many promises in scripture that weren't just given to the people at that time? I mean, they were, but it wasn't just given to them, but rather that they're for you today. For example, one of the things that Jesus tells the disciples before he ascends into heaven, and this is for the disciples, so this is for us today. He says this, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." There's so many promises in scripture that we can cling to in difficult times. Things about forgiveness and salvation. Ultimately, it's through Jesus that God offers forgiveness. Things like strength and renewal. You know, God promises to strengthen the weak, to renew the strength of those who wait. God promises to make all things new. And this is in the last book of the Bible in Revelation. Everything that we see around our world today, that God promises that in the end times, he is going to make it all new. So ultimately, it's trusting and believing in these promises. Those are the things that will change your life. Now, it's not a formula, and it's not a podcast or something that a TikTok influencer can put together, but rather it's the word of God that will make a difference in your life. And the very last thing that I want to give you here is this encouragement to plug into a Christian community. Absolutely. You know, we live in a very isolated world, don't we? And it's kind of a catch-22 because we're so connected on social media that we often feel like we're very connected. But in reality, we live so much isolated lives. There was a study a few years ago that had asked, "Are you lonely?" And most people came back and said, "No, I'm not lonely." Because after all, it carries some social stigma around it to admit that, to say I'm lonely. And so they said, "Okay, well, have you had meaningful conversations? You know, not just hello, goodbye at the grocery store, but do you actually have people in your life that you can talk about real things with?" And most people came back and said, "Yeah, of course, I have lots of friends and we have lots of good conversations." And here's what the survey asked people to do. They said, "Okay, write down the name of the person that you had that meaningful conversation with and write down what you talked about." And you know what's wild? Is that 25% of Americans were unable to write down a name and a conversation that had occurred in the past 3 months, past 90 days. Guys, so many of us are isolated that we're lonely. Just imagine 1 in 4 people that you see in public are just isolated and lonely. And this is not how God intended it, not for your faith, not to be isolated or on an island, but rather that God calls us into community. He made us to be around other people. And there is a reason for it. And that reason is because that social network can ultimately strengthen you. That whenever you are going through difficult times, that you have people who are there that can remind you of God's promises. Indeed, this is a conduit of God's word into your life, is to have people who know you, who care about you. I'm reminded I started off talking about how I've been invited into people's homes and hospital rooms. I remember this one hospital room that I was in, and I was visiting him, and he had gone through this great illness, and everyone else who was in that hospital room were in his small group. And I just remember thinking like, hey, I didn't know you knew so-and-so, because, you know, oftentimes people go to different services. So if you go to our 7:30 service, you're likely not going to know someone who goes to our 10:30 service, right? And yet these were connected because they were in a small group together. So who showed up for this guy in the hospital? His small group did. You know, one of the things that we do around here is that we encourage people to get into a group, not just on Sunday mornings. Yes, Sunday mornings are great, but to take that next step in your faith, to actually develop relationships with people who will be there for you, who will pray to get plugged in. And ultimately, we hope and pray that you take that next step in your faith journey, to trust God just a little bit more today than you did yesterday, to dive into God's word over this Easter season. And yes, Easter is a season. It's not just today, but rather it goes on for the next few weeks here. To check out the different small groups and see how you can plug in and invest in one. And then ultimately, this is another one for you, is to consider making this your church home. You know, if you've been coming here on Sundays, if you send your kid to the preschool here and you don't have a church home, then we would love for you to make it official to join our church family. We have new member classes that go on throughout the year, and you can join one of those, and then you can become a member that you can invest in this place, to invest in people. Actually, it's kind of fun that at our next service that we get to welcome, I believe it's a dozen new members to this church. And we even have some gifts up here as well. That's kind of fun. And that's just part of it, that we get to welcome them into our church family. And if you've yet to make that step, then we encourage you to do so. But ultimately, it's this. It's to allow God to transform your life, to go from a life of complacency and a life of bitterness to a life that is alive in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for this time together where we can gather in your name and to discuss hard things, real things, about what happens whenever life gets messy, whenever life gets out of control, whenever we're suffering, whenever we're going through a difficult time. Ultimately, God, we do know that you do have a reason, that you do have a purpose for everything. And we pray, Lord, that we can be able to cling to your word, to your promises, knowing that it is through you and your word that makes a difference in our lives. We pray all this in your name. Amen.